す初めの一歩、目の一歩踏み出す、目の一歩踏み出す初めの一歩。
This is H10 Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world gather together and twiddle their thumbs and talk about what they're going to do for the next 3.5 months until spring training breaks in Okinawa at the start of February. Because guess what, everybody? If you haven't heard the news, Hanshin Tigers season is over. I am your host, T-Ray. Today is October the 17th, 2017. Make that the 18th. And this is episode 73. Welcome to the show. Well, normally I would jump into what happened in the year 1973 and talk a little bit about Hanshin Tigers team history. But quite frankly, I don't have the data in front of me. I didn't have the time to look it up. But what I do remember from the books that I read, Hanshin lost the Nippon series, pardon me. They lost the attempt at the Central League pennant by, I think it was a half game on the last day of the year. And this represented the final year in the Yomiuri Giants V9, their 9 straight pennants. We had a chance to stop it at 8, and we didn't. You know, actually, we had a chance to stop it at 5, and we didn't. We had a chance to stop it at 1, I believe, and we didn't. I mean, we had several chances during this stretch to stop the Yomiuri Giants and couldn't do it. Here's the interesting thing, though. We were a good team during that stretch, and perhaps if it weren't for the Yomiuri Giants, we would have been the team of the 60s and 70s. But you know, in a 6-team league, when you are number 2, you're still just number 2, and nobody really remembers that. Everybody talks about V9, everybody talks about Sadaharu Oh, everybody talks about Shigeo Nagashima, and only people in Kansai whose heads are full of Hanshin Tigers will talk about Yutaka Enatsu and Minoru Murayama and Gene Baki and Masaaki Koyama and all those other guys that made our team great during that time. Not that there's anything wrong with those guys. I mean, surely, you know, they were wonderful pitchers, wonderful players, but they were not champions near as much as the Giants. I'm not going to dwell on Giants. Don't worry. This is still H10. It's not Yigen or anything like that. Y-Gen, I guess you could say. No, never, ever. So, what are we going to talk about on this episode 73? Well, clearly, we are going to talk about this first stage of the Climax series, and we are also going to just kind of look at what is it that Hanshin is lacking that prevents them from winning these important series. So, we are going to be right back after this. Stick around. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to look back on October the 14th, Saturday, for game one of this Climax series. We had Randy Messenger on the mound, and they had Shoichi Ino on the mound. Surprise pick for starting pitcher for the Bay Stars. Everybody thought it was going to be Imanaga. It wasn't. Well, Randy Messenger, as you know, missed a couple of months due to injury when he got hit by a Shinosuke Abe hit. It hit him in the leg, it broke his fibula. He came back and pitched 4 innings in a kind of rehab assignment in the team's final regular season game. That was on October the 10th. So on just 3 days rest, he comes in here and he throws a gem. 6 innings, 3 hits against. Absolutely wonderful job by him. Yeah, 106 pitches, 3 hits against, no walks, no runs, 4 strikeouts. Just looked completely in control from start to finish of his start. Now, as for us, we remained quite silent until the bottom of the 6th when Itoi led off with a single and then Kosuke Fukudome pounded a ball into the right center field stands. Quite a piece of hitting, and actually this whole game then from start to finish in some respects was very reminiscent of game one of the first stage of the Climax series in 2014, we were hosting the Hiroshima Carp, and Randy was on the mound for us in game one, and it was a shutout right until the bottom of the sixth inning when Kosuke Fukudome hit a solo home run to give us a 1-0 lead. That lead held up. We won the game. Randy went six innings, and they were co-heroes of the game. This is exactly what happened here, except it was a 2-0 because Mateo Kuwahara and Dolis came in and shut down the Bay Stars, limited them to one hit and one walk. Those are both in the eighth inning. That was it. We win 2-0. A great game, and I thought it was cool to see Kanemoto go with Mateo first and then Kuwahara next, which is kind of unusual for what he's been doing. He tends to be stuck in one way of doing things, which is Kuwahara 7th, Mateo 8th, and Dolis 9th. But he saw that the cleanup hitters were coming up in the 7th. He wanted to give that to Mateo. He thought he was, you know, kind of more on top of his game than Kuwahara. Good call. Good call, Skipper. And so, yeah, that is about all. There was one other key play in this game, and that was in the 5th inning when Randy was still on the mound. He struck out their catcher, Mine, but on that same strikeout, Kajitani, who was on first base, tried to steal second and got gunned down by Umeno. And so that resulted in, instead of being, you know, one out and runner on second, they ended up with two outs and no runner on. So that made things much easier for us. So things were looking good, except that the very next day, the forecast was rain, rain, rain. And sure enough, overnight Saturday it rained, and then on Sunday it started raining at 11 a.m. and the game was scheduled for 2 p.m. So anybody in their right minds was thinking, well, they're probably going to call this one due to rain because the field was in bad condition. They had a tarp over the field right from Saturday evening all the way until Sunday at scheduled game time at 2 p.m. But they took the tarp off at 2 and said, we're going to try to play this one. So Hanshin is hoping for a win or a tie, and in some respects, hoping that maybe the game will get called after five innings or six innings, get called early, and that we would be leading or tied at the point when the game gets called. You know, because it takes five innings for the game to be official in the record books, and so we were kind of hoping for that. Anyways, so we bring Takumi Akiyama to the mound, and they have Shota Imanaga. So they brought their quote-unquote lefty ace, the one that has been good against us at Koshien all year. Well, it's rainy right from the start of the game, as I said earlier. And so this one then ended up being just a mud fest. And right from the start, I mean, you know, you'd think that mud fest would result in sloppy plays on the defense and, you know, not so many hits and stuff. But to the contrary, there were a lot of hits in this game. Hanshin drew first blood with a Shunsuke single to center. It scored two runs with the bases were loaded at the time with two outs. And then DeNA got those back in the top of the third. This is against Akiyama, and it was with a Lopez 2-RBI single to center with one out. So now the score is tied 2-2. We go into the bottom of the inning, and Oyama gives us that lead back with a home run. So 3-2, and both of the starters are knocked out at this point. And DeNA takes the lead, though, in the top of the fifth. This is with Iwazaki on the mound for us, and he just gives up a thread of goodness for them. With one out, he walks a guy, allows a hit, allows a sac fly, and allows two more hits before striking out a really young guy to end the inning. But it's 4-3 for them, and now it's like, okay, well, now we don't want the game to end after five innings. But in the sixth inning, we got one more run to tie it up. That came on a squeeze play with Umeno laying down the decisive bunt, which made the score then 4-4. Now it's looking like, okay, well, the sixth inning is over. The game is tied. Let's call it, please. And we bring in Kuwahara, and oh, why couldn't they have called it? Because Kuwahara was as messy as I have ever seen him, seriously. And I mean, you know, some of that was a reflection of the game itself. I mean, they got a couple of infield hits that probably wouldn't have been hits if it weren't for the muddy conditions of the field. The ball just died in the mud, and there was no way that we could make plays on them. A lot of their other hits to the outfield as well. I mean, the ball was dying in the grass. and the fielders had no way of getting to that before the runners could advance bases. Now, again, I'm not making an excuse saying this is why Hanshin lost, because we could have done the same thing to them if we had played right or if we had done a better job, but we didn't. But it just wasn't playing conditions. It wasn't baseball. Nobody enjoyed the game. I know a lot of people that turned the game off just because it was not fun to watch. The only, I guess, fun thing about this one was seeing the players struggling to run around the bases and stuff, because it looked like they were kind of scampering around the bases and stuff. Anyways, they got 6 runs on Kuwahara in the 7th inning. In the bottom of the inning, we got a couple of runs back, and I was thinking, hey, you know, we could still pull this off. By the way, it was Oyama who hit a 2 RBI double to get us 2 runs back. And that was still with 1 out, but we ended up not getting anything more in that inning. So now the score is 10-6. And I'm still thinking, well, if we can get 2 more runs in each of the final 2 innings, there's a chance. But in the top of the 9th, they got 3 more runs off of Mateo. And that came with 1 out. There were 2 hits, a walk, another hit, a foul ball, and then another hit. And that got them their 3 runs. So 13-6, and that's how this one ended. Really unfortunate. Again, I don't think NPB should have let this one play, but you know, they gave an explanation. If you want to read more about their lame explanation and my analysis of it, go to the website. I put an article up with a bit of a translation of the NPB explanation, as well as T-Ray's thoughts. www.thehanshintigers.com, and you will find it probably the second or third article from the top, depending on what gets posted from now till then. So the decisive game is set for Monday, except that even though it rained all day Sunday, all through the game Sunday, and they didn't call it, it continued to rain all Sunday night and all of Monday. It actually rained literally almost the whole day Monday, so they did mercifully call Monday's game, and that was because they checked the forecast and they saw that there was a good chance that the rains were going to stop for Tuesday. Sure enough, the rains did stop on Tuesday around 11 o'clock or noon, so just like 6 hours before game time, and the Koshien, the Hanshin Engesang, the groundskeepers did an incredible job of getting the game, getting the field into game shape. So thank you so much, Engesang no minasama. Hontou ni otsukare sama deshita. Hontou ni yoku dekimashita. Hontou ni sekai 一流の園芸さんだと思います. You guys are a world-class groundskeeping crew. Good on you. Unfortunately, all of your hard work was wasted on a terrible outing by Hanshin on Tuesday for Game 3, which is the only available rain date for this Game 3. Nomi starts this one and doesn't get through the first inning for us. In the top of the first, he walked a guy, he allowed a couple hits, he walked a guy, he finally got an out mercifully, and then he allowed a couple more hits. So 3-0, and Ishizaki had to come in and clean up the mess. But 3-0 for Yokohama, and we didn't get any runs back until, well, first they got 3 more in the top of the fourth against Suguru Iwazaki, and those came in the form of an RBI hit as well as a 2-run home run by Lopez. So 6-0, and then we finally got one back in the bottom of the 6th inning. I don't know if that's like our magic inning now, but Yusuke Oyama hit home Kosuke Fukudome, who had doubled in this one after 2 outs. But that was it. 6-1 is the final score. We went through a whole plethora of pitchers in this one. We started with Nomi, we went to Ishizaki, then we went to Iwazaki. Then after that, we had Kyuji, Shintaro Fujinami, that was a big surprise, 2 innings of shutout ball for him, and then Takahashi and Dolis. So there you have it, 6-1, Bay Stars advance. Congratulations, Yokohama DeNA Bay Stars. You beat us. You beat us good, and you deserve to move on to the next round. May you pound those Hiroshima Carp into the ground, please. I'd love to see it.
This is your week.
Yes, I am going to name a player of the week or a player of the series. That player of the series is no doubt Mr. Yusuke Oyama. Yusuke Oyama in this series, he went 1-for-4 in the first game, then he went 4-for-5 in the second game with a home run and 2 doubles. I think he scored three of our four runs in that one. He drove in three out of four. He scored two out of four. I think that makes more sense. No, we had six runs. So he scored three, I think, out of six. Anyways, and then in last night's game three, he went 2 for 4 again. He got our lone RBI. One of his outs was a warning track fly ball that looked like it could have been our first run of the game in the bottom of the second, but it wasn't. Anyways, Oyama really came to life and showed that maybe he was worth being the starter. Not to say that the team couldn't have done better with Jason Rogers somewhere in there, but certainly Oyama at first ended up being a good choice. So Yusuke Oyama, you are the man. Of course, the runner-up for that would be Randy Messenger, but when a pitcher can only throw in one of three games, it's really hard to name him MVP of the whole series. But Messenger was definitely our best pitcher in this entire series. So now we get to a part of the program. This is going to be completely ad lib on my part because I have prepared nothing, but we are going to talk about why is it that Hanshin cannot win these types of series? What is it that Hanshin is lacking to get over the top? So I'm going to break it down into a few things, but the first one that I'm going to talk about may sound obvious to you, but I'll explain myself a little bit more. And that is the team has a lack of star power. There are no real superstars or true, you know, class of the league players on our team at any position or in any skill set, honestly. Okay, if you look at hitting for average, we don't have anybody for the entire season that hit over 300, meaning that I don't think we had anybody in the top 10 for batting average. When it comes to slugging percentage, we didn't have anyone in the top 10. When it came to home runs, I think we might have had one guy in the top 10. Keep in mind, we're talking about a six-team league. So top 10 is still not even that impressive. I mean, really, we should be looking at top 5, even top 3, to consider our guys elite in any category. We did not have a top 5 base stealer. We don't have anyone that is Golden Glove caliber on our team. I wonder if any of our guys are going to get Golden Glove. Maybe Umeno. Yamato would if he played every day or if he had played enough games this season. But even then, I don't know. Like, yeah. Okay, we've got Yamato as our all-class defender, and we've got Umeno, who's definitely a solid defender. But if you look at both of these guys and their full package, yeah, they are, you know, superstars on the defensive end. But like, if you look at Yamato, his season OPS was 650, probably around 750 has you at, you know, a worthy of being a regular player. So 650 is significantly lower than that. And this, again, is with him hitting a career high 280. So I don't know if he is necessarily anyone that you would call a star. Same goes with Umeno. I mean, this is a guy that hit, 200-ish on the season. So I wouldn't call him superstar either. And then if you look at, again, base stealing, our best base stealers are Itoi and Uemoto, both over 30. Toritani is another one that's a decent base stealer. He's also over 30. None of these guys put up great numbers, and they're just not the types of guys that other teams look at and say, oh no, we better be careful because we're going to get run on in this game like crazy. You know, none of our guys are really capable of taking that extra base on certain hits, so it just seems like even when we hit all the singles that we do, and our team hits a lot of singles, we're just, you know, we're a local train stopping at every station, you know. We're always stopping at every base. We got guys like Kai Ueda, who hopefully will come out next year and show us some exciting stuff with his legs. And then Taiga Higoshi is a very good runner as well, but he is not pinch runner material. I mean, this is a guy that has got the tools to be a star if he can just put it together. And he definitely has not done that the last two seasons. So yeah, I think we really lack the star power. And I'm mostly talking about fielders. I mean, as far as pitchers go, we've got Randy Messenger, who's, you know, top-notch. We've got Rafael Dolis, top-notch. We've got a couple of other relievers that were top-notch this year as well. But that also having been said, I would say this about our pitching staff. Our pitching staff is aging. And yeah, you know, we had a good year with our pitchers, a really good year. But if you look at some of the guys that contributed, we got Nomi, age 38, right? We got Messenger, age 36. We got QG, age 36. We've got Takahashi, age 34, I believe. Right? I think that's about all for the guys that are aging, but that's still a fair number of guys. That's a lot of pieces of the puzzle. So we need the young guys to step up big time. And that's an issue even with the fielders. You know, when I mentioned guys like Itoi and Toritani and even Uemoto, and not to mention the oldest guy, Fukudome. You know, we're looking at our veterans who all came through this year, but they're all over age 35, except Uemoto. But, you know, over age 35, we don't know if we can count on these guys to carry the team for very much longer. They can certainly contribute, but I wouldn't ask them to be the ones that bear all the load. And we need for some of our younger guys to step up. And that was a big thing this year. A lot of the guys that were expected to take that next step, Shun Takayama, Fumiya Hojo, Fumihito Haraguchi, et cetera, did not. So that's a problem. But I really think that one of the huge problems, and I talked about this in episode 71, so I won't dwell on it too much, that is, I really think we have a lack of imagination when it comes to management. I don't feel like we make a lot of attempts at what I would call, what, trick plays or just using strategy. I feel like we're a very vanilla team in that respect, pretty predictable. You know, when we show bunt, we bunt. When this guy's coming up, we bunt. In these situations, we bunt. Our relievers come in this order, you know, things like that. You know, Yamato is always going to bat from the left side when it's a right-handed pitcher. Just stuff like that where, okay, I can understand it if you're an established switch hitter, but I really don't think that was necessarily had to be an absolute with this team. So that, I think, is a big issue with our club. But I'm going to mention one more thing, and this I really think is a huge factor. I was talking to one of my friends on the train ride home. I think Osaka and Kansai is another reason that this team just can't do it regularly. What do we mean by this? Well, a certain author named Katsuya Nomura, who used to be a great player and a great manager, wrote a book about this. And one of his main points was that as long as this team has got the media that it does, as long as this team has got the fans that it does, this team is not built to be a strong team. So a couple of things. First of all, the number of media covering games is outrageous. Now, I'm not saying fire these guys, because that's not my job or my place to say. But with all of the guys covering, all the guys and ladies covering this team, you know, these players feel like they are superstars, like they are demigods. You know, even if they have just the slightest accomplishments or a great day on the field, all of a sudden, you know, the headlines scream that these guys are great. Like, okay, let's look at what the headlines say the day after we lose the series. We've got one that says Fujinami hopes with a shutout appearance. He's going to come back next season strong. Yeah, but the team lost 6-1. Oyama showing his toughness by hitting an RBI single. Yeah, but the team was down 6-0 at that point. Ryota Arai, second squad farm coach next season. What? Sorry, I'm jumping ahead to the news, but again, this is something that they're reporting in the news and really saddens me. But, you know, just things like that. Things like you'll see that in the newspapers. Even after we lose, they talk about some of the good things that happen in the game. And that's fine, but it just seems like, you know, when the players read that or see that or hear that, or when fans react to that and fans start to treat Ryota Arai as though he is some superstar. Well, he retired at age 34. He's not, never was a good hitter. And now he's going to be coaching our guys on how to hit. Uh-oh, this team is in trouble. Okay, so fans are fans, and I'm okay with Hanshin fans being passionate, but I definitely feel like, you know, kind of like maybe a Philadelphia type atmosphere in America for the Phillies. maybe the fans are a little bit too harsh at times. Maybe the fans' expectations are too high. Maybe the fans are too vocal and critical when they needn't be that way. And I think maybe that gets to the players as well. And some of the proof is in the pudding. And that is that when Yuya Ando had his retirement press conference, he had said to the fans, this is his kind of parting message to the fans. He said, you know, we've got a lot of young pitchers and, you know, they're going to come up and they may end up making mistakes. And when they do, please don't jeer them too hard. Please have warm words of kindness for them. Now, that might just sound like a really soft baseball player who can't handle criticism. But man, these Hanshin fans, sometimes they can be really harsh. And I think that really grates on the players. And so I think when they're standing in the batter's box, they're not, you know, they should be thinking about getting that hit. Or if they're on the mound, they should be thinking about making that out or whatever. But I think part of them is distracted by the jeers, by the thoughts of newspaper headlines, by, you know, all of this stuff, because it's everywhere. And I don't know if you knew this, and I don't think this is practice in America, but the Hanshin media, they're in the clubhouse, right? And they will interview a player after he hit a home run or after he hit an RBI, and you'll see it posted on like Twitter or even sometimes short articles on the media outlet's website, you know, minutes after the guy has hit a home run. He'll say, yeah, it was a fork ball that I hit. And the moment that I hit it, I really felt good. I felt like it was going to leave the stands. I'm glad I was able to contribute to the team's lead and give Randy a couple runs of support or whatever. Minutes after. Okay, I like news and I like the fact that news is coming at us faster and faster. In some ways, I like that. But the fact that the media is there waiting for the players after they get to the dugout, I think that's a bit much, and I think that the team needs to can that. I really think the team, I don't know who it would be, Kanemoto or the front office or whatever, needs to say, look, no media in the dugout or in the clubhouse, or no one talks to the players or the coaches until after the game is over. Unless there's like a set time, like a rain out, and they might want to talk to one of the coaches or whatever, that's fine. But, or a rain delay, I should say. But I just think it's too much. So those are some of my reasons that I think this team is lacking the ability to go for the top as one and reach the top and Tigers change and have fighting spirit and all that kind of good slogan stuff. What are your thoughts? Do you think this Tigers team is destined for greatness, or do you think that there's something fundamentally wrong with this team, or that needs something that needs to be addressed before this team takes the next step? I really think that it's a combination of lack of superstars, management, managerial decisions, media and fans, and so on. And maybe that this team is aging right now. So I'd love to hear your thoughts. Please share them with me. Send me an email or write something in the comments section or whatever. You know how to reach me, and I'll talk to you about all the contact points at the end of the show. Couple of things in the news. As I mentioned, Ryota is going to be a farm coach next year for the hitters, apparently a development coach for the hitters. Look out. I love what, Samurai Godzilla? Anyways, Tomzilla from Facebook and Samurai Godzilla, I think it is, on Twitter, said, this is what Ryota is going to say to the players down there on the farm. He's going to say, okay, watch me now, watch me. You see what I'm doing here? Whatever I'm doing here, don't do it. I think that's going to be his best coaching advice. Ryota, moshi kiiteru nara, jōdan desu yo, haha. Next bit of news, I think I read that Yano is going to be the farm manager, so he is taking over from Kakefu next season. I don't know how I feel about that yet. I'm not a huge Yano fan as far as coaching goes. I don't really think he did a great job with the catchers or even with strategy this year and last year, but we'll see. Maybe he's got something that he can prove and show us down on the farm. Speaking of Kakefu, there's also word going around that he has said that he is willing to go anywhere to any club that offers him a position. And I know that Hanshin front office is trying to get him for something. I mean, that's also in the news. But yeah, this is what the headline says. Kakefushi, offer areba doko no uniform demo kiru. So Kakefu, no matter what team sends him an offer, he's willing to put on their uniform. So sounds like he wants to be in management or coaching somewhere. And it'll be interesting. I really like Kakefu, and I really hope that he has great success no matter where he goes. Of course, I'd love to see him stay with the Tigers, but is that going to happen or not? I don't know. A couple of guys that are going to be free agents this offseason, Yamato and Shunsuke. Of course, the team wants to keep both. They're going to try to, but word around the buzzing around the internet is that Yamato is looking elsewhere and hoping to get out of Kansai. I don't know if that's true. We will find out in the months or the weeks to come. Shunsuke, I'm not sure either, but I don't know if we want him as our everyday center fielder. It really depends. I really think that we have got potential to put a superstar out there in Nakatani, possibly Takayama, maybe even Yokota, maybe even Egoshi. You know, there's all sorts of guys that could be out there. So I don't know if Shunsuke is a long-term answer, but he certainly did come through this year. Thank you, Shunsuke. Arigatou gozaimashita. If you want to leave, I think I'm okay with that. Finally, this is kind of some fun news just on a personal note for T-Ray. On Saturday after game one, I was able to meet up with the legend, the man, Randy Bass. Don't know Randy Bass? You need to learn your Hanshins a little bit better. The most legendary player in team history, certainly among imports, but possibly of all time, of all players. Anyways, just through a connection of mine, a very nice man by the name of Marty Kienert, he introduced me to Randy Bass, and we sat down and had a good like 30 to 40 minute conversation. I recorded some of it, and I'm hoping to put some of it in my next podcast, whenever that comes out, hopefully soon. Also, during Game 3, I was kind of texting with Jason Rogers, and he has also agreed to be on the podcast, and so that is also a future project, and I don't know when it'll happen, but if you have any questions for Mr. Rogers, send them my way, and if I deem them good enough to ask him, I will. Speaking of sending stuff my way, my email address, if you didn't know it, is thehanshintigers@gmail.com. So feel free to hit the 15 seconds back. If you didn't catch that, you can hear it again. But send me an email. Let me know what you think, if you got any good questions. You know, that is going to be all for this week's show and the shows that are wrapping up the regular season and the playoffs. However, we will probably be back, like I said, with the Bass interview, with the Rogers interview, and possibly with other off-season stuff, depending on what happens this off-season. In the meantime, thank you once again for your time and passion for the Tigers. You can find this podcast and extra news, articles, and more, as always, at the website www.thehanshintigers.com. You can also subscribe to this podcast. Whether it continues or not is another story. But subscribe anyways on iTunes or Stitcher. Just type in the four magic words, Hanshin Tigers English News. Subscribe, write a review, and share with your friends and enemies. Baystars fans, Carp fans, even the Kyojin fans. Get all the news instantly by following us on Facebook. Just search for those four words, Hanshin Tigers English News. Also, if you feel inclined to do so, please leave a review on the Facebook page. I've got a couple new ones, and I appreciate it. It would mean a lot to me. You can follow T-Ray on Twitter, at the Hanshin Tiger, as well. And if you've got any requests for the podcast, for the website, for my off-season project time, feel free to hit me up. I would love to hear what you want to know more about the Hanshin Tigers, what you want to see more of on the website. But until next time, everybody, keep on cheering until spring training breaks, February 1st, 2018 in Okinawa. Have a great off-season, everyone. We'll be right back.